Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, sir. You look like a man who could do with some more pedals.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. I love a good pedal. The only problem is pedals are so expensive.
Well, I've got some great news for you. From the 1st of October to the 16th of November, you can buy two Boss pedals and get the third, the cheapest one, for free.
For free, you say?
Indeed. Go to www.boss3for2.com. That's the number 3 and the number 2 with the word 4 to check the pedal combination and all of the terms and conditions. You can then go to any Boss UK dealer to claim the deal.
My goodness. The only question now is, which pedal?
That's up to you, isn't it? Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening is Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Bonjour.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
Oh, yeah,
very well,
yeah.
Thank
Real
you.
Good.
Very nice.
Yeah. Good. What's this sexy voice?
I was just, it's my new character I was going for. I wanted to sort of appeal to the ladies.
Okay.
Or men.
Okay. You Either. Know. Just people that like deep voices.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Cool.
Deep voices and guitars.
Yeah.
It's working for me.
Yeah?
You into it? A bit of a stirring going on.
I know, yeah. Well, that's good.
Can we set him up a binaural mic and get some ASMR going?
Yeah, you know.
I don't really understand that stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Is it Phil?
Was it you that introduced me to it?
No.
So, I hear about it a lot on podcasts and people.
ASMR.
People mainly talk about it as if it's filth.
We are probably ASMR. Like, people who are into guitars, this is probably ASMR.
So, guitar.
Explain what this is, because as far as I know, it's audio filth.
It's not audio filth. It's just like, it's like a weird, like, I was listening to a lot of it when I was, like not sleeping at all, and it's really relaxing.
Okay.
It's really weird.
But it's just people, noises around the microphone, right?
I mean, that is a bit weird. Some of that stuff is, yeah. But no, a lot of it is just, like, people talk. Like, the best example of ASMR is definitely in relation to this, is the Jeff Bridges ASMR. You've got to listen to the Jeff Bridges ASMR record. It's wicked.
Is that filth?
It's definitely, do you think anything he's ever done could be?
Is it just like Joe's deep
other
voice?
Other than well cool. Yeah, it is like Joe's deep voice. It's cool, but it's very weird.
Isn't it just a podcast?
Nah, because it's on, like... Have you not seen the YouTube? Like, if you have a look at the ASMR Reddit community, it's bonkers. It's massive.
Don't understand what it is
YouTube...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, you need to check it out.
It has nothing to do with guitars.
So, as far as I'm aware...
track of what you're talking about.
It's people just
it's
talking.
Attack, sustain, memory... reverb.
That's the
why not rotary?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's very weird.
So are we ASMR?
No.
Why is that?
Because it kind of needs to be like binaural.
Let's do the rest of the podcast in ASMR. So we'll be like, you can be like,
so Philip on the Facebook group has asked a question of you, Mark.
So let's do an experiment. I'm going to put this. So if you do the low voice in like a hot, I'll put that in the left channel.
Yeah.
And then I'll do like weird mouth noises on the right hand side.
So you've got to like ask me a question that's been asked on the podcast group in that voice, and then I'll answer it in the podcast group. Podcast voice.
Okay, so we're going to start the podcast by doing a question.
Okay, yeah.
This that is doesn't weird. Really make any sense.
It doesn't, but we'll come back to questions.
Well, just do the intro again then.
Okay. Hello and welcome.
No, that's terrible. That was terrible. That was awful. That was awful. Hello and welcome.
What? I've got
that
the
was
least
almost borderline Welsh. What were you doing?
What it is, see? I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just...
No, it's all about...
Right, so you say a thing now.
Hey, hello and welcome to the...
I need some room to cut. So you say a thing now and then stop and I'll pan that on the left and then you say another thing and I'll put it on the right.
Hi, and welcome to the GAK.
Oh, so you there's an intro. That's the only thing I've ever intro.
Oh dear, with that I think maybe we should move on.
So this week, Matt Knight checked out a £500 distortion pedal, which is even more ridiculous than that last segment. Matt, tell us about it.
So probably the single most expensive pedal I've plugged in that's not a multi effects, so like one effect, and it's basically
what's it called first?
So it's called the Royal Overdrive by a company called Van Wielden.
Okay,
now Van Wielden is an amp company that's run by one dude.
Okay,
who makes amps, and he doesn't sell to any shops. He only sells to like players directly. Most famous user, I suppose, is Joe Bonamassa. But it's a bit like that Dumble thing where effectively it's kind of just like you order one and then you just wait for ages and then that's it. And they're like, I think the amps are like 5,000 euros, like
what?
Starting price. Yeah, they're crazy expensive. And like for the full setup, there's like loads of like modular extras that you can get for the amp. And the Overdrive was designed because loads of people were like, I want the same tone of the amp, but I can't always take my amp around with me. And I think it was sort of designed, I think Joe Bonamassa had said like, oh, I want my amp sound wherever I go if I can't plug into my Van Wielden amp. So they've basically designed this pedal, which is effectively like an amp in a box. It's not really a distortion. It's more like an amp in a box that basically sounds absolutely amazing.
So when the people are saying
it only sounds good turned up, like as if you're a bedroom guitarist, personally, like for me, like I have like lower volumes quite a lot of the time, you don't get the same sound unless you start to crank the master output basically.
But when they're saying, oh, I need this because I'm going to situations where I can't take my amp with me, does it record direct? Is there any sort of cab sim in there, or is it?
No, it's basically, it's very weird. I think the idea is that you plug it into a clean amplifier, and then it's got two sets of dip switches on top. They're like different tone controls, but they're not tone controls in the sense that, oh, you just mess around with different tone switches. You set them up so it matches your amplifier. So when you turn the pedal on or off, your tone remains exactly the same. It adds no brightness or no bottom end or anything like that. It's loads of these different like filters, I suppose. Once you set them for whatever amp you're plugging into, you never change them. You don't use them like a tone control. And then you've just got standard amp control. So presence, bass, middle, treble, gain and master. And then there's like a mid boost for extra gain. But yeah, it sounds and responds just like a sort of cranked amplifier, more so than any other distortion pedal I've ever plugged in. And I was like, this thing is absolutely amazing for recording. I think if you're like in a studio and you've got loads of high-end recording gear, it would be brilliant. But I think if you're kind of just using it at home, I just don't think you'd get £500 worth of use out of it, personally.
It doesn't sound
unless
like it.
Unless you love boutique stuff, like obviously if you love boutique overdrives and like things like that, they're made in such like limited numbers, like it's probably never going to lose value. It's probably always going to be worth what you paid for it.
Could it be the next Dumble amp, like you say? Could it be the thing that in 10 years' time is worth 10 times its value?
Well, that's like Van Wielden and I think Van Wielden and there's another company called Blue Tone
The Blue Tones, the 90s Britpop band.
Yeah. They there's a company in America who make these amps that are used by like Larry Carlton. They make like almost an exact replica of a Dumble, and their starting price is like $6,500. And that's for like the base model. That's before you add in like extra controls or, you know, whatever. So there are like certainly some people out there that are willing to spend sort of crazy money on like Dumble type amps. So those amps are only then going to go up in value because the waiting lists get longer. So who knows?
So in my day-to-day job at the moment, I deal obviously a lot with headphones. And,
for Stag.
For Stag, yeah, Stag headphones, not Stag. But today, Sennheiser just released the Orpheus 2. So Orpheus. It's like a legendary headphone system, basically. Like you buy, it's like an amp that you have to have the headphones connected to. And they released this in like the early 90s, and it was 10 grand when it came out, and now they go for like 20 grand or something like that. The new one, which they've just announced, the amp itself, not the insides obviously, but the casing of the amp is made of solid marble.
What?
And the when you turn it on, the valves are on like a little platform. You push the button and they come out of the top. So it looks like a completely flat surface on top, and then you push the button and then the thing that the valves sit in, like the valve bases and stuff, rise up. Price dollars, $50,000 for what is essentially a set of headphones and an amp.
Yeah, I assume, but you know, the Ugandan dollars we're talking
about. No, full on USD.
But the original Orpheus, they were the ones that you had to put a key in to start them. That's how you turned it on. You put a key in the front and you turned the key and then the whole amplifier turned on.
Yeah, so on this one is it like
Clicky button.
No,
like,
it's got
full focus.
It's got a touch sensitive dial. So there's three components to it. There's this like the amp basically, which is like this marble covered box. Then the valves sit in that, and then on top of it there's also a box that holds the headphones. When you push the volume button, which is on, the valves rise up out of the amp, the controls come out of the front of the amp because they're also recessed, and the lid of the box opens up to reveal the headphones.
Right, wow.
Oh, that looks so good. I've just Googled it.
It's
they look
ridiculous.
Absolutely amazing.
But I mean, to tie it back into what you were saying, that is, it's the kind of equivalent of these sort of kind of Dumble style amps.
I love that you tied that in. Hi, I'm Mark Packham and welcome to the Headphone Podcast.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is people are buying that not because, I mean, it will be an amazing sounding headphone and the technology in it is incredible and it looks beautiful. But what people are really doing is they've seen that the kind of growth on the original Orpheus and have gone, okay, right, so that went up by this much. This one is starting at $50,000. But what's it going to be in 10 years' time? It could be $200,000. And I suspect that's what's going on a bit with something like this pedal. You know, it might be the next clone, you know, might have the same growth as that, you know.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that there's quite a few companies making these like massive big box, you know. I mean, Pete Cornish has done it for years, made these like huge pedals that you wouldn't put on any normal pedal board, but there's touring guys out there that would have that, you know, as their sort of main amp sound, you know, or drive. I think it's not necessarily aimed at the guy or like the avid like pedal collector who like buys loads of stuff at like £100 to £200. It's like aimed at some guys who've got like either studios or crazy like boutique rigs.
Yeah,
there's that other company, I think, what is it, Dickinson Amps, and they make those ones that are like all like chrome fronted, like steel plated, and they make a huge valve driven pedal that's like £600.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, so I mean, it's like it's pretty nuts. But yeah, I mean, it sounds amazing. It's built like a tank. Like you hold it and you go, yeah, this like feels like £500 worth of kit. You know, it's not like anything else. It's just like an awesome. It did sound absolutely awesome, I've got to say, but can't justify spending £500 on a distortion pedal.
No. One thing you did spend some money on, the Zilla rebuild of your Pro Junior. Tell us about it.
Yeah. I put a picture up on the Facebook group, and I've got to say, when it finally arrived, you know, I waited until 5:30. Like, I know it can arrive any time up until 7, but I waited in all day. And I was like, I've got things to do. But yeah, it turned up at 5:30, and it was like the first time I've like opened a box in ages and gone, wow, that's much, much better. Like, I expected it to look good, and I was like, wow, this is going to look much better than I thought it would. And basically, I've got Paul at Zilla Cabs to build a oversized 112 with a cutout for the Pro Junior. So you can take the chassis from the Pro Junior, screw it to the back plate of the new 112, and then it sits in the cab with a 112 speaker in. Because the Pro Junior sound great, I think, as I mentioned a few weeks ago on the podcast, but the box is obviously quite small. The 110 speaker's a little boxy sounding. It's quite mid-heavy. So I thought it'd sound much better in a 112 with a 12-inch speaker. And I've also got him to wire it and build it in such a way that you could just use it as a 1x12 cab as well. But yeah, it's sound. In fact, I was just about to hook it up before we started podcasting, so I haven't even like properly plugged it in yet, like actually wired the back plate in.
How much did it cost to get sorted?
It was, well, he did me a deal, but something like that would usually set you back out like somewhere between 350 and 400 quid, depending on what options you wanted.
Does that include the speaker?
And that's the cab. That includes the speaker and it includes the delivery.
What speaker is
that's
it?
Really, that's really good.
It's a Celestion Creamback.
Oh, you went for Cream. Very cool. Very cool.
So yeah, it should sound, and it's awesome. So it's like white end with black Western center stripe, basket weave front and gold piping.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pictures up on the group.
I just wish more companies would make more cabs that looked as good as that. And that's the great thing about the Zilla cab stuff, is that he's got his own range of sizes which are different to any other normal cabs out on the market. He'll do you any Tolex option. And to be honest, it costs you about as much as you would probably pay for like an orange cab or something like that.
Are they as like high quality as the orange stuff though?
Yeah.
The orange stuff is like proper, like, as far as I've always been concerned, other than going for like a boogie cab, which will, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that the boogie stuff is more or less the sort of highest quality build stuff on the market, which is why people were still happy to pay £1,000 for a 4x12, you know, but other than going for a boogie, the orange stuff is probably the best stuff on the market, wouldn't you?
Like, yeah,
without a doubt.
And yeah, you think that the Zilla stuff's up there?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's just one guy that builds it in his like workshop in Bristol, but he uses like oversized wood, so it's like quite thick, so it's, you know, really boomy and bassy sounding. He's got some quite cool designs with like the back plate, so, you know, they usually work at full closed or three quarters, so you can take some of it off. So if you want to have a closed back or an open back, you can. And yeah, it's just really well built, solid stuff. The only big shame about it is they just don't hold their value, unlike other cabs would, because they're sort of unnamed brand, and because a lot of times they're custom. So when you go to sell them, you know, you see a lot of them on eBay and stuff like that going for like half of probably what the person paid for it. But they are, you know, a really solid and well-built cab.
That's the good part and the bad part of buying custom, I guess. Like you say, you get to make it look exactly how you'd want it, and I would say that the one that you've chosen is quite esoteric. But the downside is obviously, you know, there's not much resale value there.
Well, you just have to make sure that when you're building something that's exactly how you want it, it is exactly how you want it.
Yeah. Well, of course,
you know, that's all it comes down
but
to.
But that's never day, the case in the guitar world,
well,
is
no,
it? Everything goes eventually. So, Jay Koss, what have you been up to this week?
Can I might as well.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I'd say now's the time.
Now's the time.
Now's the time.
I've got quite big news. I've got a new job.
Yeah.
You have got a new job.
I'm leaving Joe.
You are the third of the four of us nerds to leave me.
Sorry.
I'm leaving Joe.
Since we started doing this, when all four of us had the same job, now it is just me.
We've left in the same order that we started, though.
Oh, that's true.
That is true. But how weird is that? So what we're saying, and there's not that much we can go into, I guess, but if people want stuff, like, now's the time to grab you this week, basically.
I guess so,
If people want to...
Because he doesn't give a flip.
That's not true. So basically, this is my last week. Friday, this coming Friday, which is the 6th, I think... is my last day working in a guitar shop. Which is pretty wild. I've been working in this environment for over 6 years, and
I personally think that Lidl's is a move up for you. I'm really glad you're pursuing something that
I tell you what, Lidl, great company to work for. They pay the living wage.
Oh, really?
They do. Yeah. Or maybe that's out. No, it's Lidl. Lidl pay their living wage. They're Lidl, a great company to work for.
So when you start your new job as guitar buyer for Tesco, yes. Which starter packs will you be stocking?
The Zilla.
Okay,
custom.
good. I like the way that we're taking this. Tesco, yeah. They're doing vinyl now, so we've got to go for some custom guitar cabs.
As much as I am leaving Joe, I'm going to be holding someone else's hand. I am going to work with Mark.
Hello. Incidentally, didn't Mark get you the job that you currently
have?
He didn't
get me that job, and B, he didn't get me this job.
Basically, apart from the chicken counter at Sainsbury's, Jay needs me to get him a job.
That's not true.
I have to actually I think warn, you helped get I put it on job. My... CV that when you get me, you also get someone who is, I'd say, about as quarter good for half the price. So something that they need to bear in mind.
I'm not sure about that. I ended up as your boss one time. You know, that's.
So I am becoming the last bastion of sort of decency.
Yes. Decency. Yes. So people again, it's difficult because, you know, we don't like to talk about where we work too much, but if people want you at that place, they can get you at that place. I get Matt at his place.
Well,
and
we can
and then you can also get Jay for one, well, until Friday at his place.
But yeah, so basically this week I've been doing a lot of handover stuff, which is essentially me just sort of... hanging out and wait for my mates to come in and say hello.
Yeah, right. Which is...
I have noticed how much less work you've been doing when I sort of had just to phone up the shop and ask them to take a photograph of a sign that I needed to redo and send it to me. And 2 hours later, I had to phone up again. And
I did it immediately.
Oh, yeah, you did do it immediately.
Which is, in fairness, if ever you needed, because people don't like you, that's the thing you've got.
Yeah, that's what it is. People ignore your requests.
But like, I tolerate you because, like, otherwise this would be uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? Like, this thing here would be really awful.
Do you know?
So you need to come and ask me, and then I'll just do it for you.
Let's just give me an idea, because often when someone isn't here except me, we do the podcast without them. I wonder, can someone add up over the course of the podcasts that we've done, who's been on the least episodes?
It's definitely Joe.
Yeah,
probably actually, it might be me because I spent a lot of time
between me and Jay, definitely. But I'm always on tour and Jay's always on holiday.
I'm not on holiday. Well, I suppose I was on holiday.
So you've been doing handover stuff. People can get you there until Friday.
People can get me there until Friday.
But worth mentioning that... we're still going to be doing the same amount of coverage, even
Absolutely.
Though you're slightly...
Well, that's because you still have me and Matt, and we do all the work.
No, we still have you two, but also we've got a lot more stuff coming in for demo and stuff. And it brings me on something that I tried to do this week, which was do the first ever Guitar Nerds live Periscope. And I tried to Periscope a demo of the Magnetic Effects White Atom.
Yes. Oh, this was the one I tried to talk people out of watching.
It was. It was really cool because loads of people actually watched it. The downside was it didn't work very well in that I thought you could just plug an audio source into the iPhone and that would work. Stupid me thinking that would be easy because the headphone jack is an audio in, but turns out not just a regular stereo audio in.
You need the 3-pin, don't you?
Indeed, which is seemingly nigh on impossible to get because you can't just get a cable that goes from stereo to that. Yeah. So
when do you get an iRig?
That's what I was just thinking. Just announced this week the IK Multimedia iRig Duo, which will allow us to do a microphone and direct feed from the guitar. So the plan is get one of those when they're available, which I think is in the next couple of weeks, and do some Periscope stuff.
That's cool. I wonder if that has been released in answer to this exact situation, because periscoping is becoming a bit more popular.
It is.
The only time I've seen any decent periscope activity has been on like radio shows and stuff,
okay,
where people can use their can just use the phone.
Well, yeah,
but there's not a huge amount of like external noise. You know?
Yeah. Well, I've been doing some research, and Gear Talk do some stuff, and Wampler do some stuff on Periscope, and Yeah, they just use the mic on the phone and it sounds pretty bad, to be honest. Like, right, I just watched the Wampler one from last night where they were going over some prototype stuff. And yeah, just the audio sounds pretty bad. So hopefully we're going to get a sound card for the phone in the iRig Duo, which looks cool. Like two microphone ins and headphone out, and it's just like a proper sound card.
That's good.
What about the... isn't there a Focusrite interface specifically designed for... going into like an iPad or iPhone via the camera connection kit?
Well, yeah. I wish there was one for you.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like you need
this is Matt reporting to us from 1985.
Yeah, we've got some internet issues with you, Matt, but don't worry about it, it's all good. Yes, but I don't want to buy a camera connection kit because that seems pointless when I can just buy a sound card that goes straight into my phone. So that's what we'll be doing. So... yeah, we got some more news this week, but there's a couple more site bits that I wanted to go through before we delve into the news.
I can't believe you cut me out.
What, all right, what have you done this week? What could you have possibly done this week?
Well, I did some stuff. I had things. I always think of things.
Go on then. What's the thing?
You tell us to think of things.
What's the thing?
You send us an email and say, think of some things.
I literally, on this email, I did put what did everyone else do, but then I meant all the good ones.
No, carry on.
What was your thing?
No, carry on.
Tell us what your thing.
Okay. I expanded. I have several things actually.
Okay.
One, I was in my lounge. No, I was in my dining room.
This is great.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, I was listening to a live version of Atoms for Peace playing somewhere, some festival.
Who?
Atoms for Peace.
I don't know who that is.
It's Tom York and Flea's band.
Oh god.
No, they're really, really good.
I remember the news bit, like, before they had a name, someone bit like seeing the article on it being like, oh, it's...
No, it's amazing. It's probably the best music I've ever heard. Well, the best album I've ever heard is Tom York's solo album, Erasure. And so the
I liked Erasure's album, Tom York.
But So I was listening to this Atoms for Peace thing, and basically it started and I was watching it and I was like, oh yeah, I wondered if Flea would use his 1960 jazz bass, his concentric controlled white jazz bass that he has. And he was, and I was like, oh brilliant, what a great bass, nice to see him using it live, because he of course never uses it for the Chili Peppers because they're rubbish. And and so it was great to see him using that. I went into my kitchen and had some dinner and I'm still listening to it. And they start playing another song, and I was like, man, that is the best tone I've ever heard on a bass. I was like, I'm so happy that I moved from precision basses to jazz basses as my main bass, because this sound is incredible. I have to get this. I walked back in, and he'd switched to a P bass.
Yeah.
He'd switched to a 62 P bass.
Yes.
And I was like, I need another P bass.
Yes. So, did any of the Flea basses make an appearance? The street
no,
bass?
No, he switched between his 1960 jazz bass and what looked like either an original or a custom shop 62 P bass.
We've been talking about doing a video on the five biggest guitar flops ever, and I think Flea bass might be in there.
Yeah, could well be in there.
Probably, I mean, I will hands down say one of the worst guitars I've ever played.
Yeah.
Awful. Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree. They were pretty bad. So good colours, though.
Great colours. The punk rock one, pink scratch plate, green body, matching green headstock.
Why do you call that a punk rock thing?
That's what it was called.
That was what it was called. Yeah.
Green and pink.
I've expanded my pedal board. I bought a PT1.
Okay.
Well, I always had a PT1. I use a Pedal Train Junior, but I put it in a Pedal Train 1 hard case because it gives me room to put my cables in.
Okay.
But I've upgraded to a PT1 so that I can put two more pedals on, because I bought a Phase 90, and it sounds great, and I'm using that loads on the slowest function, on sort of bass lines that are going on for a long period of time. It just gives it an extra
depth. I've
seen
your band, that's all of them.
They all go on for a long period of time.
Oh, so you know we're recording a live video next week. One song, 22 minutes.
That's not a song.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't.
At one point, I'm playing bass 6, and the guitarist and the drummer are both playing drums.
Are you playing bass 6 for the entire of the song, or do you switch from a bass to the bass 6?
I have a bass at first, because I need a real sort of dubby sound, and then I switch onto a bass 6, which we're running through a Vox AC30 and a bass rig at the same time with these two.
How do you do that and make it be coherent?
What do you mean?
Like, if you're playing that live, how do you switch?
Oh, no, I wouldn't switch live. This is like a really elaborate...
You just said you're doing a live video.
A live video, so as in we've hired a studio, we're going there for the day, and it's going to take us that long to set up the two organs, piano, glockenspiel, two drum kits, and two basses.
Who plays glockenspiel in your band?
The drummer's playing it for a bit, yeah.
Is this going to be like one of those OK Go videos where it's a continuous shot? Because if it's not a continuous shot, then it would really miss the trick.
That's not a live video.
We should have done a continuous shot. I think there will be a couple of cameras in there, so it might not be.
Nah, just get rid of one of them. Send one of them home.
Maybe that is the way to go.
You should definitely do it as a continuous shot. Yeah, otherwise,
it will look less interesting because you won't be able to zoom in.
No, it will look
face.
A lot more.
All I'm saying is I'll give you the Guitar Nerds Periscope login, and if you can do it in one take, actually live on the internet...
Well, it will obviously take a couple of takes, maybe, but...
Go do all of theirs first take.
No, yeah. They don't.
So I hear. So that one on the treadmills, yeah. First take.
The one that they did in the cars with all the pianos,
that
first
take. That was so good. I loved that video.
That was great.
That was their best one because it's the only one that actually required any ability.
Planning and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, like, a lot of the OK Go video, every single video that OK Go have done...
It's a shame they've never written a song to go with those
videos. That is the problem, is that their songs are quite rubbish.
I quite like some of those songs.
I do like that
that's the one with the paint.
No, that's the one with the car.
It's a great song.
It's a good song, yeah.
I think OK Go are a pretty good band.
Yeah, they're okay.
So one last bit of site news.
Wait. So I said I had a PT1, I changed to a PT1 for more room. Two pedals, phase 90. I need a fuzz. I don't know what fuzz.
I'm telling you,
Bigfoot Engineering,
Magnetic White Atom.
No, Bigfoot, would that work on bass?
King Fuzz.
Probably. Let's try it. When you do this video with Matt, when you plug a bass in,
we'll see if it works.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
I had some other news, but I'll save it for next week because you don't care.
I bought.
I'm just saying we're half an hour into this podcast and we've not even tickled the news yet.
Okay.
I bought a guitar pedal. No. I bought a guitar pedal this week.
Go on.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I bought a guitar pedal. I bought today. Today.
Is it a compressor?
No.
Did you buy a compressor, Jake?
No.
You need a compressor.
Auto-wah.
I bought a Boss TU-3.
I got bored
of trying to get a free one. So,
here we go.
Because they wouldn't give me one, so I bought one.
Good. That's what we like to hear. Yeah. Did you go for the 3-for-2 pedals?
No.
Okay.
I didn't. I'm really skimped this
In month. Fact, is that deal still running?
It is, yes. Yeah, it's running until the 16th.
Yeah. There we go.
No,
which I misinformed you of earlier today.
Joe told me it was the 19th, but okay. It's not. It was the 16th. I didn't. I'm completely skimped this month, but I did really need a TU3 because I... have we lost Matty?
No, he's still there.
Because I am... I'm playing a couple of gigs this month and I have been relying on a Korg pitch clip.
Good.
Which is fine. Works completely fine. But I am very concerned of sending it flying mid-show. So,
one last bit of site news. We're completely sold out T-shirts. So I'm going to do one...
So if you want to buy mine, yeah, right. Me with an offer.
50 quid.
Yeah, I'm doing spin-off T-shirts.
Okay.
I'm genuinely doing spin-off T-shirts.
I don't
t-shirts.
Want to know what they are. So I'm going to do one more run, I think. So maybe two more runs. So if you want one before Christmas, I would say...
Maybe keep them limited. Maybe come up with... Maybe we should do a new design.
It costs a lot to get the screen done each time.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
So we should try and get at least two runs out of it, I guess. But yeah, if you want to order one before Christmas, I'm going to do one more run in the next week or so. So get onto the site, guitarnerds.net/shop for your limited edition T-shirt. And then we'll get them out to you before Christmas. So, should we dive in some news?
Nudes.
That's probably the longest we've gone without diving into the news. I think half an hour.
In that case, news.
I think we've definitely done some before, which have gone on for the entire... is that what you got? That's disappointing.
No, I was cutting it short because you were talking.
I was only...
So, Blackstar, brand new Blackstar amps, the Artist Combos, a 15-watt and 13-watt combo. Matty, what's the deets?
Why have they made amps?
Well, I do.
Joe knows more.
Why have they made amps that are 2 watts apart?
Two watts a pop, 15 and 30.
Oh, I thought you said 13.
No.
Why would anyone make a 13?
I thought you knew the details.
Oh, no, no.
They...
Oh, no, no, I do. Well,
So have these been officially announced yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Were they announced yesterday?
No, yes. No, yeah, yeah.
Right, okay, fine.
Were they?
They're on the Black Star website.
Yes, they are.
Okay, cool. I have played one of these.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's very good. I think it's a very, very good amp. My slight concern... And it is only a slight concern, is the price. I think it's a little bit too high.
You see, like, I saw the price and I thought, actually, for what you're getting, it's not too bad.
How much are they?
$649 and $849, I think.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah,
it's so much more than any other 15 watt amps.
That's the problem. That's the problem is you know, but I was talking to the guys from Blackstar about it, and my initial thoughts is always, okay, cool. What someone who is looking at one of these amps, you know, when you come at it from a shop perspective, it's very different to coming at it from a manufacturing perspective. When you come at it from a manufacturing perspective, you're like, okay, these are the benefits to this, 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 and this. When you come at it from a shop perspective and from the perspective of a punter, which is what we all are at the end of the day, you go, okay, cool. What else is there that is like this that I can get for less money? And that is a question that we get asked all the time. And so if someone comes in and they try this 15-watt Blackstar amp, they will say, okay, cool. Well, why should I spend this money instead of buying a Fender Blues Junior, or instead of buying
a Vox AC15,
or instead of buying a
Laney Cub?
Not a Laney Cub, but like one of the Laney Lionheart 20 watts.
Yeah, or LC15, is that still current?
The LC15s are current, yeah. Or, you know, like, those are the questions that people ask. And, you know, these amps do sound wicked. They sound really, really good. But I do struggle to see where the extra utility is over.
They're only the same price as a Hot Rod Deluxe, though.
Yeah, but they're only 15 watts.
But they are a 112, which a Blues Junior isn't.
That's not
true. No, Blues Junior's a 112.
Oh, yeah, is it? But they're not in a big box, so are they? In quite, because they are. I've not seen the artist.
Now we're splitting hairs.
Well, no, but I've not seen the artist stuff in the flesh. But it looks to be in a Hot Rod Deluxe box.
It's not quite as big as a Hot Rod Deluxe. It's a bit taller than an AC15 and a bit
slightly more marine ply. Does not warrant the £200 price.
It's
going to
give you.
But it is two channels.
More versatility than a Vox, though, isn't it?
But
it's going to give you,
and it is two channels.
I won't hear any negative words about Vox.
And these are two channel, which is very good, and that's something that I think Fender and Vox, Fender more so than Vox. I can understand why Vox wouldn't make the AC15 two channel, because it's sort of treading on the heritage. for Fender not to do a two-channel... Well, I mean, I guess that's what the Supersonic is to a certain degree.
Well, no, but then, you know, Hot Rod Deluxe is the two-channel one.
Yeah, but that's 40 watts.
Yeah.
Which is too much for most people.
Yeah, but it's an obvious progression up the line, isn't it? You get Pro Junior, which is the smaller speaker, yeah, minimal controls.
Yeah.
Then you get Blues Junior, which, I mean, it's not two-channel, but it's got the boost, yeah, bigger box. Then you get the Hot Rod Deluxe. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Supersonic is something else entirely.
Somewhere in the middle,
and,
yeah,
you know, absolutely. What's a two-channel Supersonic?
Oh, 900 quid.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So, I don't think the price is outrageous. And what's how much is a DSL-15 combo?
Oh, 500 quid or something.
Okay. Does that even warrant a comparison?
Well, yeah, I guess so, because it's Blackstar against Marshall.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that the DSL-15 is a good amp. You know, I think it's I think it's probably not what we would look at in comparison to like a Fender or a Vox, but the DSL-15s are very, very good amps. And don't get me wrong, the Blackstar sounded really good. There's not a huge amount of gain in it, though.
Well, no,
they've designed it to be used with pedals.
Yes.
And they have said that, and that was what they were pushing home with me with the rundown of it. And I get it, I understand it. It's a basis for everything else that you're going to do, which I think is like kind of to a certain degree what Roland have been doing with the Blues Cube.
Yes.
You know, they've like, okay, cool, here is a good starting point, here is a nice decent platform from which you can build upon, and I get that. I am a little bit concerned that it might not take off to the degree that they want it to take off. That's my concern. The amp, don't get me wrong, the amp sounded great. It sounded really... I tried the 15 and it sounded wicked. Both channels sounded great. One of the other things that we did was we plugged in the Blackstar... Is it the HT drive or the LT drive? What's the little yellow drive pedal that they do, Matty? Can you remember?
The LT drive.
I tell you what, for 50 quid, that is a wicked high gain drive pedal.
We've got a bit of a question about that later on.
Well, that sounded amazing. And that into that amp sounded really, really good.
Okay.
My only fallback on it is the price. I think it's a little bit too high.
Yeah.
For what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And
I suppose to me, if I looked at that, I would say that they're going for someone who wants a boutique amp.
Who wants a boogie but doesn't want to spend the money on it.
Yeah, basically, they're looking for someone who wants a boutique amp that doesn't want to spend $2,000,
yeah,
but doesn't want a Fender or a Marshall.
Yeah.
Because quite often you do get people that go, oh, I want something really simple in a small box, and you go, oh, we'll try Blues Junior. Oh, it kind of needs to have two channels.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, Hot Rod Deluxes are too loud.
Too loud.
And Marshalls sound too rocky. So I suppose it's kind of trying to sit in between those two.
And that, I think, works really well. That, like, the two channels, the fact that it's got two channels is, like, far and away, is, like, a very, very, is a real plus point.
And they're really pushing the fact that channel two, I think, is particularly neutral. So great to be used with drive pedals in the front end. So,
right, okay. If I remember correctly, the first channel is just a single band EQ. And then the second channel is the three band EQ and the ISF.
Okay. Fine. I thought it was the other way around from reading about the product yesterday.
Second channel is the one with the four band EQ.
Okay.
And it's a digital reverb, but it's probably the best digital reverb that I've heard.
And effects loop as well.
Yes.
Which is another thing that you don't get on a Blues Junior.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So another thing you don't get on... I can't... Maybe you do on a DSL-15.
AC-15?
Not on an AC-15. Right. AC-30. Okay. Actually, I don't think you do on an AC-30 now.
Really, no. What it sounds like to me is that they're providing you with scope to build upon it.
It's a pedal player's amp.
Yeah.
And it really is a pedal player's amp.
Okay.
And that is really cool. I hope for the sake of Blackstar, because I mean, I really like Blackstar. I think they're a great, great company. My slight concern is that it won't take off in the way that they want it to. That's the slight worry that I have with them.
Okay, we'll see.
But it sounded great. It really did sound great.
Yeah,
both the chords that I know
sounded good.
Really lovely with it. So.
So, news in today, Electro-Harmonics have whipped out their cockfight.
Cockfight.
Matt, you're always excited by brand new Electro-Harmonics pedals. what do you make of the cockfight?
what is it? Is it a talk box?
No, it's not a talk box. It's a
fixed wah, basically. Yeah.
A fixed wah?
Yes.
Yeah, well, this is the funny thing. Obviously, it's a fixed wah, but it's got an expression pedal input, so you can still use it like...
You can
make it into a
wah.
It's a cocked wah.
Exactly, right. Hence the cock fight.
Right, gotcha. Oh, yeah.
I suppose it's more than that, because it's taking the crying tone wah pedal they've done, which is their normal kind of crybaby sort of voxy sort of traditional wah, the talking machine, which does the kind of vocal type ones that they did in another foot pedal, and a fuzz pedal built into it as well. And the fuzz pedal has its own drive control. It's got its own bias control to kind of get it to really spluttery or sort of really full on gain. You can obviously adjust the frequency for the fixed wah, but then you can plug the expression pedal in as well. A kind of fixed wah, I mean, there's definitely see some like classic sounds out there that have used it. Personally, I can't ever kind of really think when I would use it, but plugging in the expression pedal is quite cool, because then you can tailor the wah exactly how you want it to sound.
Couldn't you just do that with a wah pedal though?
Not really. I mean, you could plug a crybaby in and go, yeah, it sounds all right, but I wish it had more bottom end, or I wish I could adjust the frequency to X, Y, and Z. And there are some boutique wah pedals there, like the exotic one that's like £250. But not everyone wants to spend £250 on a wah pedal. Or you could have something like this and then use the control out on something like an ES8, and then you only have one expression pedal that controls all your other pedals, including this, and then you can bring it in on certain patches and away you go. So you could kind of use a switching system to kind of give you multiple options as well.
I think the good thing about this is for someone who maybe it's in like a covers band, but they have only got, like, they don't really use a wah pedal, but they want to do a Metallica solo, you know, that kind of cocked wah sound. It's a kind of a cool little thing, doesn't take up much room on the board. And like you say, well, you know, you don't have to actually control it, you just turn it on and you've got that sound straight away. So
it's a shame that the fuzz in it isn't foot switchable as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's another kind of cool. I mean, Electro-Harmonics, when, you know, I think about all the stuff that we see from like TC and like Boss, and then like all these sort of like hand-made companies and that, like Electro-Harmonics just really know how to like really like knock out like just tons of stuff.
And that's the thing, is this is only going to be £50 or something, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was just thinking that actually, like if you were an Electro-Harmonics collector and you wanted to buy every pedal, you'd be spending £50 a month at the moment, because they're doing a pedal every month. Their R&D department
and most
must
of them
be
are
bonkers.
Actually a pretty good, really. Like, I mean,
last month we had the C9, and that's £150. Well, but then, the K9.
In between then, we've had the Smash Drum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just keep coming.
I'm trying to think what else has come out, actually, because they've had, like, I don't know, just, like, tons of stuff. Like,
I think all three organ pedals have been this year. Yeah.
There was
some
new
stuff.
Go on.
I was going to say, some of the stuff that they did, I was just going on their website, because they always do like a flashback, like
that's
Friday type.
TC, mate.
They've even done things like synths and stuff. Like, they've actually done a mini synthesizer.
Have they?
Before, with like touch pads and stuff. Yeah.
Really?
Weird. They were one of the first companies to do like kind of like a looper pedal as well, with the 16 second delay. It was like the longest ever delay. So they've always kind of like been like pushing the boundaries of like guitar effects.
Yeah, they we just put up a video on the YouTube channel actually about the history of fuzz, and obviously Electro-Harmonics features quite prominently in that. I didn't realise that the Big Muff was like an adapted version of the LPB1 line booster.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
I think that's the funny thing about, in general, like you think of Mesa Boogie, like the guy who started Mesa Boogie, Randall Smith, started modding Fender amps, and you know the kind of the reason that, you know, a lot of like Fender amps came out is because he was modding like, you know, other kind of more simple amps from the time. And it's just funny how like all those sort of things like evolve from basically someone modding something else.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the things, how the Tone Bender came out. It was like a modded Maestro Fuzz. And then Electromonix obviously had the LPB1, and Mike Matthews said, actually, I want a bit more gain, and I want it to have three controls. And that was the Big Muff.
And my friend's is Evolution.
What?
That's Evolution.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Before you do that, there's another thing that come out this week that you haven't put down. Have you seen, and Matty, this might be one for you, the new Ranger FX pedal?
That looks incredible.
No, I haven't.
So, because you had a Son of Freakenstein, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
So, Ranger FX is, he's in London, I think, isn't he? He's definitely UK-based.
Yeah, he's in London.
So, he's done a bunch of fuzzes. The original one was the Dr. Freakenstein, which was a really wild-looking...
Didn't it have like a kind of pull lever control on it?
And yeah, absolutely. And then they did the Son of Freakenstein, which was a smaller fuzz that had a bunch of dip switches, I think inside, if I remember correctly, that was how you controlled the stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, that's how you controlled it. Yeah, that's so, right. The volume control was on the inside.
On the inside, basically. Yeah. And so they've just released a new pedal, which is the Echo X, which is a mini pedal digital delay. But the thing that sounds really cool about this is it incorporates their Igor expression pad.
Oh, yeah.
So the Igor expression pad is a small touch-sensitive pad that you use as an expression pedal. And and it connects via mini jack to the to whatever pedal it's plugged into. And this looks really, really cool. And they are well cheap.
So it's 99 quid. It's a mini pedal with like five or six mini switches on it. Or, no, it's actually less than that. It's five. Oh, no, it's five.
Yeah, this looks bonkers.
But mini switches. And then, I mean, it's hard to explain that the touch-sensitive pad. The touch-sensitive pad looks like a terrible idea because it looks so breaky. It connects via a tiny mini jack.
Yeah. What does it control?
It is a little, like, disposable mini pad.
I don't know what it controls. I assume the...
So, like, the harder you push down on it, the more it'll change.
Yeah, I assume things. It controls the...
Delay time,
yeah, I don't know.
It might even be variable, to be honest, on the pedal, but...
Exciting stuff.
But it's a great pedal. Definitely check it out, the Ranger FX Echo X.
All the Ranger stuff is really cool. Because I remember at the time, Matty, you thought about selling your... I'm assuming you did sell your Freakenstein in the end. I nearly bought that off you because it was...
Yeah, it was one of those ones where I was kind of just like changing them around. But the guy builds them all himself.
Yeah.
Like, an amazingly with building stuff, like he just really is really into like gear and like building the circuits, and he puts everything together himself, like designs all the circuits.
But they're such an affordable brand as well.
Yeah, that's the thing, especially considering it's all UK built. You know, the air traffic controller reading about the because the only pedal that I'd seen about them before seeing the Echo X was the Son of Freakenstein. I hadn't appreciated that there was a Dr. Freakenstein that came first, and actually there's another one that's smaller than that, like the Freakenstein's Dwarf, I think it's called.
Of course.
That's again a mini pedal. Yeah. But I really like the look of the air traffic controller. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It looks amazing. And like all the boxes are really weird, like they're all very weird shapes. It's like a parallelogram or something. A trapezoid.
That is a trapezoid.
Trapezoid.
That one.
But still, even that's 158 quid.
I was going to say, I just realised on that Echo X, there's two extra controls at the bottom as well, underneath the foot switch.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. So there is.
So you've got level, rate, feedback, input, volume, and then at the bottom you've got send and then feedback rate. Now, the send control basically controls how many repeats carry on after you've disengaged the pedal.
Oh my goodness.
This sounds so good.
That's so good. And within a micro pedal.
We need to get one of those.
Honestly, if you've got £99 to spend on a delay pedal at the moment, this has got to be the one. This is...
The Eagle comes with it as well. That's not an optional extra.
We need to get one of these. We need to try one. Matt needs to take it back to his lab and and give it a go.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, should we do some questions? Because we're nearly up at an hour, and we promised that we'd do some questions this week, and we'll carry over some questions into the Patreon, but let's make sure we do some now.
Questions. Yeah.
Callum says, guys, I'm facing a bit of a problem. I have 50 quid to spend on guitar gear. I really want to buy a new pedal. However, I also need some wires, strings, and picks. What would you recommend me doing? Waiting another couple of weeks to get the pedal, or waiting a couple of weeks to get some essential items?
Let's get a cockfight.
What pedal, though?
A cockfight?
50 quid. Jay, you mentioned a pedal earlier at 50 quid that you would recommend. Blackstar LT Drive.
The Blackstar LT Drive. I did mention that. Thank you.
You did. Yes,
I thought you were talking about the cockfight that I said would probably be 50 quid.
No, you're right.
If you just want a cool little drive, that Blackstar LT Drive, I think, sounded really, really cool. I've never sat down with it before, and I think the reason that I haven't sat down with it before is because the HTs,
yeah, which are the bigger valve driven pedals,
are, because then 22 volts, I think, or something like that, and they need their own power supply.
24 volts
is it? No, it's not, it's something weird.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Matt? Maybe I'm wrong.
Sorry, what was that?
Blackstar HT stuff. 24 volts.
No, the little, like, multicolored units.
No, the big valve ones.
The big valve ones work on some sort of weird specialist supply.
Yeah,
because
of that, I've always been turned off by them, because I know that you can't use them with a multi-power supply or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's... And I think I just had that... because I had an HT drive. I don't know. I genuinely don't remember where it came from. I think I got it in a trade with something.
Yeah, that was weird.
And I also don't remember where it went. So I might still have it. I don't think so. I think I got rid... Anyway, I had one for a while. And it did my head in that I can use it with a 9 volt. So I never used it. And I think that sort of... has always stuck in my head with the little ones. But that LT drive sounded really, really cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. Especially pushing that the clean Blackstar amp. And it made it sound, I mean, it is a Blackstar amp, so it's a bit of a weird thing to say, but it made it sound like a Blackstar.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It was like, you know, it was relatively transparent, but like it gave it that sort of, that edge and that sort of that mid-range oomph that you're like, yeah, well, I mean, that's a one of the Blackstar HT series, you know what I mean? Like, that's you can hear it straight away.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I think that's a good to go for. Would you go for one of those over at the moment, if you're after something with a fair amount of drive, would you go for one of those over a TC Dark Matter though?
Well,
36
yeah, that's
quid.
The thing.
Richard says, after browsing YouTube for hours for half decent drive pedals, the Mojo Mojo and Dark Matter together look like they could cover a lot of drive tones, and £35 each. Anyone got any got/used said pedals? Thoughts? Joe, have you got any thoughts on the TC Mojo Mojo?
The TC Mojo Mojo is the single best drive pedal of all time.
That's not true, is it?
No, it's not true. But it's definitely the best drive pedal on the market for under 50 quid. I include the Soul Food within that.
Okay.
It's brilliant. It is... I mean, I love the Mojo Mojo. It's super transparent. And so if you've got... So it comes with a caveat. Like, as long as you've got a good guitar, a guitar that you really like, and you're using an amp that you really like, then I don't see any reason why you would use any pedal other than a Mojo Mojo, because it just brings out that sound. It's really transparent, and you can hear exactly what you're playing. It just sounds bigger, and you've got a little bit more drive. The Dark Matter, I think, is just a really cool, like, dark sounding, not quite like, it's not like a intense...
Is it a metal pedal? Because Dark Matter makes it sound like a metal pedal.
I don't think it is a metal pedal.
Okay.
I think it's a bit more musical than that. I think it's, you know, because they also do the Rottweiler,
which is definitely a metal pedal. Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think the Dark Matter is just... I think you can use it for metal. I don't think it... In the same way that you can use a Tube Screamer for metal.
Yeah.
Or in the same way that you can use a Proco Rat for metal. But, like, they're not specific, they're not like a Boss Metalcore, or they're not like a I don't know, whatever. What else would you just use Boss Metalcore, don't you?
Metal Zone,
Boss Metal Zone, or a Digital Metalizer,
Heavy Metal HM2.
But you know, it's not
Metal Muff,
just a metal pedal. The Dark Matter gives you, I just think they're very good sides. They're very good. So the Mojo Mojo is a great overdrive, and the Dark Matter is a great distortion. And if you have less than £100 and you want three stages of gain and you've already got your amp, then those two pedals are absolutely wonderful. Like, a real good choice.
To return to Callum's question, he's got £50 now. Does he spend £50 on pedals or £50 on strings, cables and other stuff?
I am very, very boring.
Always go for a pedal.
I'm very boring, and I really like accessories. I think having good stuff is really cool. Having a couple of good cables is really important. Having a decent power supply is really important. £50 in a pedal, it depends on what it is that you're looking to get. Like, if you, it's the same thing. Like, I had it today as well in the shop. Like, someone came in and they needed a new power supply, and they didn't really want, they knew that they had to spend 150 because of what they were running. They knew they had to spend £150 and get like a one of the MXR one of the new MXR ones, which I don't think we've really talked about, because they have actually landed now, the ISO brick.
Okay.
Maybe we'll talk about that next week. Or the Voodoo Labs Pedal Power 2. Like, those are, you sort of need to spend that much money. But it is a very boring thing to spend the money on. Sure. But they sound great, and it makes sense to do. And so, like, having new strings, having decent strings, having decent cables, it's important. It is important.
Yeah.
Fender Custom Shop cables all the way.
Yeah, I think those Fender Custom Shop cables are great. Like, they're what I use. And if they stop working, you take them back to the shop and they give you new ones. Like, they come with a lifetime warranty. It's you don't ever need to spend money on cables again if you don't want to. And they're very high quality.
I need to get some of those. I've got an Elixir cable that I've been rocking for ages. And it's 6 meter, and I definitely do not need a 6 meter cable in the house.
No, you don't. And if you watch that video that Boss did, where they talk about the benefits of buffered pedals over true bypass pedals.
Yeah.
And the fact, you will see in that video that if you are using a pedal, if you're using cabling that is over 18 and a half foot, that is the point at which your signal begins to degrade.
Even if you've got a buffer in there?
Even if you've got a buffer in there.
Okay.
Which is why the 18 and a half foot is the maximum amount of distance that the your signal can travel before it starts to degrade, which is why people like
6 meter roughly.
It's a little under five and a half meter. Yeah, but 18 and a half foot is, that's the length that Fender Custom Shop cables come in. That's the length that Whirlwind cables come in.
Yeah,
like anyone who's a little bit switched on as to what's going on with those sort of things, they'll do generally like a 10 foot cable and then an 18 and a half foot cable.
Yeah,
and that is why.
Let's do one more question. Let's do something from Sai, who says, what bands would you kill to see? You'd actually kill a person to see. Matt Knight, what band would you kill a person to see?
Do you know what? I don't really know. I thought about this question before, and I was like, I've seen a lot of the bands that I'd really want to see, so it's kind of like, I wouldn't necessarily kill someone, like physically kill someone
to
see them again.
Who would
I don't know. Pass. I honestly can't. I can't think.
Pass
of, like,
that
some
classic
band
rock band.
Yeah, I love Pass. Their album Mother's Baby Milk from 1976. Classic gatefold sleeve. Yeah, I love it. Pass. Brilliant. J Cross,
what a band.
Who would you want to see directly after you had slaughtered a human being?
I think Jay and me are both pacifists.
I am just looking at my Last FM. I'm big into stats.
Stax, the Stax record label. So maybe like Booker T and the MGs.
I'm really into statistics.
Okay.
And I like, so I use Last FM. And
great
I've,
band from the 80s. They sort of took their sound from Devo. But I like them. I like the sort of guitar. Joe Branton, what band would you kill to see?
The Mars Volta.
Okay, easy. J Cross, which band
Led
would
Zeppelin,
you?
Led Zeppelin, White Denim.
White Denim?
Yeah.
They played Brighton like 6 months ago.
Yeah, and do you remember those murders?
I couldn't get a ticket.
The band, just to answer the question more specifically, Fugazi are the band who I wouldn't kill anybody to see, but Fugazi are the band who I regret probably the most not going to see. So Fugazi, the last time they played Brighton was 2002, early 2002, which was just before they broke up, and that was like around the time that I was 15, I guess, and I was just sort of getting into punk and stuff, and so like I knew the name Fugazi, but had I gone to the show, it would have been a half hour walk back to the train station, a hour and a half journey on the train, and then a £10 taxi back to my parents' house, and I didn't want to do that, and I regret not doing it because Fugazi are amazing and are sort of everything that I have built, like, yeah, a very, very good band.
As a vegan, are there any sentient land mammals that you would kill to see Fugazi?
Joe Branton.
Good. I think with that, we should probably call...
Wait, did you say sentient?
Yeah, no.
Oh, it doesn't sorry, count. I don't know. Though.
Hello.
With that, we should call this an evening. Do join us. We haven't done Patreon backers. Patreon. I completely forgot about Patreon. That's a shame, isn't it? Because we're going to go and do a Patreon episode now.
We are.
We're not going to... We're, like, going to stay here and start again.
Yeah. We just do the whole thing again. So, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You get an extra half an hour of this absolute tripe every week. It's probably a bit funnier on Patreon, I'd say. I'd say this episode... I'd say this is a 4-star episode so far.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's because we're in our underwear. I think the less clothes we wear, the better this podcast gets.
I feel loose. I feel invigorated. It's drafty.
Yeah.
It keeps me feeling alive.
What we've done this week is turn the heating up to maximum in Mark's house and then all stripped off into our pants.
I don't know if you've seen the film Risky Business. That's the sort of thing that's happened.
I've not seen that film.
It's a good movie. You should check it out. So, patreon.com/guitar nerds gets you an extra half an hour of podcast every week for $5. For $10, you become one of our executive producers, like these people.
Enrique Siri, Paolo Carigano, Dale Rascaronaris, Jacaro Conroy Nino, Wilhelm Clare, Christofferson Wilsonarak Nutabank, Scott O'Brienish, Matt Quinnen, Fletch Fletchariasco, Filetta Tomsete, Moog Gravitagonus, Colon Anderson.
Colon. I love how, as he was reading that out, you looked over like, oh, we've got some new Patreon backers. Very good. So, thanks very much. We'll go back to reading the regular names next week, probably. But, do head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds for more of this nonsense. We should never record this late because it's turned into a nightmare. You can read...
Matt Nightmare.
You can read the feedback on this episode over on facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can complain about this episode at Guitar Nerds on Twitter.
Trustpilot.
You can go to iTunes and give us an amazing 5-star review for this straight up 4-star episode. And you can join us on Instagram at Guitar Nerds as well. And on Periscope at Guitar Nerds. You can join me at Mark Random on Twitter. You can join Matt at Matt_Nighty, that's Night with SIE on the end. You can join Jay at JAYBN1 and Joe at Joseph_900. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Fare thee well.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.